Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard in the I-5 corridor of Oregon, nestled in the bottom of a very fertile valley. He prepared the soil, he cleared it of obstacles, and he planted it there, calling it Grace Lutheran Church. He used the choicest vines, baptized ones into his holy name, hearing ones whose ears and hearts received his holy word, feasting ones who were fed life and salvation in his holy supper. He gave them pastors who would watch over the vineyard from the watchtowers of pulpit and altar, in homes and hospitals, and he looked for it to yield grapes. Grapes of service to one another, grapes of humility and self-control, grapes of love and faithfulness to his holy word. Grapes of gentleness and joy and peace. But behold, it yielded sour grapes. Not for lack of trying. No, the vineyard tried and tried, day in and day out, decade in and decade out. It tried to yield grapes worthy of the vine dresser's high standards. Grapes that would make him proud. Grapes that would be pressed into the finest, most delicate, and richest of wines. But yielding grapes like that takes work. Hard work, in fact, it takes perfect work. So the vines became lazy. Study of the vine dresser's holy word became lax. For some, it became a struggle to prioritize gathering together to hear it. The vines despised one another at times. They gossiped and spoke pridefully and harshly to one another. They competed against each other, looking more like the world's vineyard than their masters. Fertilized and watered with pride and disdain, entitlement and self-preservation, and their sin against their vine dresser and against one another, well, it made their grapes sour. Unfit for even the dinner table, much less the vine dresser's wedding feast. No, their grapes were worthy only of, well, wild animals. And so what is a vine dresser to do? What do you do with vines that produce that kind of sour grape? Well, you cut them down. You pull them out. You root them up and you throw them away. That's quite a love song, isn't it? Aren't love songs supposed to gush with sentimental affection? Aren't love songs supposed to tell the beloved how wonderful they are? How deserving of affection they are by just being them? A good love song is supposed to overlook foibles and mistakes and imperfections and sin, not point it out. It would seem that this love song is of a strange and mysterious genre. You won't hear it on the local country station, for it speaks of a love that is wrought in judgment. God's love never comes without judgment. His salvation never happens without judgment. And if there is some kind of wicked sin within the vineyard that's plaguing the vineyard with disdain or laziness or hatred for the vine dresser's life-giving promises, isn't it actually the loving thing for the Lord to root up all that is wicked and evil within and among us? Well, yes, it is. It is loving, for it is to remove everything that would separate us from him. And that means that he will have us all. Every last root of every last vine, every sour grape, all of us, with all of our sin and hatred for the vine dresser, must be weeded out. But there's a twist to this love song. You see, this beloved vine dresser, he is unlike any other. Not in his disdain for sour grapes, not in his desire to get rid of bad vines. No, in that regard, he's like every other vine dresser, but he is different in how he executes his judgment. Because you see, this vine dresser planted another vineyard, a vineyard with a single vine, the true vine. He was planted atop a holy hill called Golgotha. This single vine was perfect, and his fruit was divine. And in his strange and mysterious judgmental love, the vine dresser took these sinful and wicked vines from this fertile valley in Oregon, his vineyard called Grace Lutheran Church, and he grafted them into this single perfect vine. And it killed him. That's what happens when every last ounce of sin and wickedness goes straight to the root. And he was dead. And what do you do with a vine like that? Well, you cut it down. You pull it out. You root it up and you throw it away. And so he did. He took that vine along with all of those grafted into him, and he threw the whole heaping sinful mess into a dark and stony tomb. It would seem that we have quite a foolish vine dresser on our hands. Why would he ruin such a perfect vine? Wouldn't he instead try to protect it at all costs? I mean, take away his pruning shears. Take away his watering can and his shovel. Don't let him near any other vines, because he clearly doesn't know what he's doing. Or does he? For 3 days later, that single vine showed himself to be so perfect, so true, so life-filled, that what looked like burying him to die was actually more like planting a seed that would sprout to new life. And when the root of the vine overcomes death and the grave, so also do those who have been grafted into that vine. That's you. That's me. What a love song that is. Love wrought through judgment. Judgment that is the death of your sin, but which is even more your new and everlasting life. That kind of love is far from sentimental. It is far from gushy emotions. It is far from overlooking sin and wickedness to try to find the best in someone. No, this is true love. True love, which takes your sin and your wickedness so seriously, so that he can seriously forgive it. And so he does. This is love whose source is only one place and one person, the true vine, your Lord and mine, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.